Radio.com presents stories of mystery and intrigue, espionage and suspense. Hear tales of ticking time bombs, mysterious crime scenes, and cloak and dagger action. This is Relic Radio Thrillers.
Washington, calling counter-spy. Washington, calling counter-spy.
Harding, counter-spy, calling Washington. Harding, counter-spy, calling Washington.
The Blue Network presents Philip H. Lord's Counter Spy. Germany has its Gestapo, Italy its Dobra, and Japan its Black Dragon. But matched against all of these secret enemy agents are Uncle Sam's highly trained counter spies. Visualize ace counter spy of them all as David Harding. In Washington, Brigadier General Whitcomb sat in his private office at a large oak desk. Standing in front of him was First Lieutenant John O'Brien.
Lieutenant O'Brien.
Yes, sir?
I have another mission for you. A most important mission.
Yes, General?
Let's see. You've been my official messenger for 7 years, correct?
9 years, sir.
9 years? Well, Lieutenant, you've been most methodical, resourceful, and diligent.
Thank you, sir.
Now, this envelope contains certain very important documents. They concern changing some of our heavy artillery on the West Coast. Carry it inside your uniform. Now, I want you to deliver these to the commander of the San Francisco fortifications. Deliver them right into his own hands and to no other living person.
Yes, sir. Shall I fly, sir?
No, I don't want to call attention to your mission in any way. Just quietly get on the train, as though you were carrying nothing of any importance. There's a transcontinental train tonight at 10 o'clock, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir, there is. All I've got to do is go back to my hotel room and cancel several engagements I had, sir. Hello? Hello? Oh. This is Lieutenant O'Brien calling. No. No, I can't take you to the theater tonight. No, I'm not fooling. Oh, a new dress? Honestly, I'm awfully sorry, but I've just received instructions to leave for San Francisco. Yes, San Francisco. Well, I'll be back in about a week, and then I'll see you every night.
Oh, going to San Francisco, Lieutenant. Don't you want a berth in a sleeper? Got several vacancies.
No, thank you. I guess I'll sit up.
San Francisco's a long way to ride in the day coach.
No, I'm used to it. Is the storm delaying us much?
Well, let's see. Just at midnight. Well, we're about half an hour late.
Thank you.
Well, Lieutenant, I hope you don't get...
What's wrong with the light? Look, why did it go out?
It may have something to do with the storm, madam.
I'm afraid. It's so dark.
to you. Take your hands off me.
We'll have lights back on in just a minute.
Conductor, something terrible has happened.
What happened, madam?
We hit the pipe. A glass of breaking.
Where?
About 3 or 4 seats in front of me. Turn your flashlight upstairs.
We can't get the lights on. Somebody's cut the wire.
Right there. See?
Why, the glass is broken out. And blood.
Oh, that's where the army officer was sitting.
He must have been thrown out the window. Hold on, everybody. I'm going to pull the emergency.
This is Harding. Go ahead.
We located, placed by tracks, where Lieutenant O'Brien's body landed. There was a great deal of blood. We traced footprints from there 100 yards to the main road. Somebody had a car parked there. There were some tread marks of car in dirt beside road.
Are you making plaster casts of footprints in the car tread?
Yes, sir. They'll be ready by morning, sir.
Good. Stand by for further instructions.
Throwing O'Brien off that train was certainly a carefully planned job, Mr. Harding.
Yes, David, it was no ordinary job. The only ones who knew about those plans being sent were the higher-ups. I've had every move Lieutenant O'Brien made checked carefully. This job has all the earmarks of a high-class, sophisticated plot. Davis, I want somebody to do some special work for me who travels in high Washington circles.
Couldn't we get one of our own operators into that circle?
We could. But I want somebody already there, some prominent person who wouldn't be suspected of working with us. I'm going to talk to Lady Ashton.
She's helped you before.
She's a social leader, and she can be trusted. I need a woman who's fairly young, beautiful, sophisticated, worldly, who travels in Washington's higher social set.
I see. Have you anyone specially in mind, Mr. Hardy?
Yes. Norma Braley. She's a French refugee. She's invited everywhere. She's continental.
And very beautiful. You're sure this is all business, Mr. Harding?
Yeah, she is attractive. But if Miss Braley would be willing to work with me and follow my instructions, she could be of great help.
And you wish me to give a dinner so that you may meet her?
Well, in Washington here, Lady Ashton, I'm often watched very carefully. I'd like to have the meeting appear to be a chance one.
How about dinner Friday? I'll see that you meet Miss Braley socially then.
That'd be fine, Lady Ashton. I'll be there.
Yes, but you must have some opinions on how the war is going, Mr. Harding.
I know how it's going to go, Miss Braley. Shall we walk over to the other side of the room for a minute?
Yes, certainly. You know, I think Lady Ashton gives the most entertaining evenings of any hostess in Washington.
Ah, she's a very charming person. Miss Braley.
Yes?
I don't want to be seen talking to you too long, so I'll come right to the point.
Oh, you sound very serious, Mr. Harding.
You're a French refugee, Miss Braley. You fled Paris just before it fell. Your entire family is still there.
Well, how did you know that?
More people are investigated nowadays than they think. Now, Miss Braley.
Yes?
Would you take some risks if you thought you really could be of help against our mutual enemies?
Oh, I'd do anything in the world. Everything is a risk nowadays.
I need someone who travels in Washington's best society. I need someone who's never been connected with counter-spying in any way. Someone of courage, insight, sophistication.
You mean me?
Yes. We're on a very hard and difficult case right now. I need someone just like you. In fact, you.
But I don't think I'm qualified for such an important undertaking, Mr. Harding. I've never had any training.
You won't need any, Miss Brayley. You'll do exactly as I tell you.
And you really think I can help?
Very definitely.
Then I'll do anything you ask. It's the least I can do.
You will be in danger. The ring I refer to has just murdered one Army officer.
I'm not easily frightened, Mr. Harding. I went through a good deal before I escaped to the United States.
Then it's agreed. Now, I believe something very important is going to break later tonight. Now, any calls I make to you must be made in such a way that they can't be traced. Now, tomorrow morning at 10:30, go to the Farnsworth Drugstore on Maple Street.
Yes.
There are three telephone booths there. Go into the middle booth. Make several telephone calls so you can hold the booth, so no one else will be using the phone. Mm-hmm. Now, hang up the receiver at exactly 11:30. Now, I have that phone number. I'll do the same thing on the other end of town so that my call to you will be from one telephone booth to another, so the call can't be traced.
I'll be there, Mr. Harding, right to the second.
And be sure and don't call me by name over the phone.
Hello?
Who are you?
I'm in a telephone booth by appointment for a call at exactly 11:30.
Good. Now listen carefully. A Sir Harold Palmer arrived late last night in Washington from Ontario, Canada. We've been watching him up there for over 3 months. He's not really of the nobility. We believe his credentials are false, but we've not been able to make sure.
Yes.
Now, this is the first time that Sir Harold has left Canada. And it's so close to that event which happened on a train 4 nights ago, we believe there may be some connection. Now, I've arranged for Lady Acton to give a ball on this coming Wednesday evening. Somehow, it will be arranged so Sir Harold will be there. I want you to meet Sir Harold Palmer at that ball. Lady Acton will introduce you to him. Flatter him. Get to know him.
I'll do my best.
You have a small automatic, one you can carry in your purse?
Yes.
Keep it with you at all times. That's all for now.
Sir Harold, we're so delighted you came this evening.
Very kind of you to invite me, Lady Ashton. I've just come down from Canada. I'm really quite a stranger in Washington.
Sir Harold, I want you to meet a guest of mine, Miss Brayley.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Brayley?
Good evening, Sir Harold.
I've been admiring Miss Brayley all evening, hoping I might have the opportunity of meeting her.
There, Norma. Men gave up saying things like that to me years ago.
Oh, no, they didn't, Lady Ashton.
Will you dance this one with me, Miss Brayley?
I'd love to, Sir Harold. I've been admiring your dancing.
V8 reporting. The gentleman in question and lady have spent the evening at the theater. Later attended Crescent Club, and he has just now taken her home.
Place Operator 7 has made on his floor at hotel. That is all.
G8 reporting. Gentleman in question and lady went for a drive out of Washington. Stopped at Mayflower Club on Highway 3 for dinner and dancing. Has just returned to Washington.
If gentleman orders theater tickets for play opening Friday, see get 2 aisle seats in 4th row, center aisle. That is all.
G8 reporting. Operator 6 followed couple in question this morning. She went shopping and he accompanied her. Overheard conversation indicating they are planning to meet this evening in his hotel room.
Check.
You know, Sir Harold, it is rather unusual in this country for a young woman to go up to the hotel room with a man. Unless they're engaged or something.
Is that so? Very interesting. Well, continuing, we had in our home for many years what I could call as fine a collection of pastoral art as there is outside of a museum. We very seldom went out of an evening. The paintings were so beautiful, landscaping of all kinds.
Oh, yes, I see.
Am I boring you with this long dissertation on art, Miss?
It was just a question.
Did you yawn?
Oh, no. Oh, no, most certainly not. Continue. Tell me more about these oil paintings in Dorchester. I'm sorry, Mr. Harding, but I didn't know what to do.
I know, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning, Norma. Come up to my hotel room to put those who might be watching me wise to the fact that you're working with me.
But something terribly important has happened, Mr. Harding.
What?
Well, Sir Harold kept talking and talking about art so late that I asked him to order some food. And when he went into the adjoining room to telephone room service, I had a chance to look in several drawers and I found these papers.
Let me see them.
I had this little gun with me in my bag, but... Well, no woman would ever have to show it to Sir Harold. Here.
Have you looked at these?
Yes, they're reports. And they state very clearly they concern confidential information between the United States and Canada.
Yes. And this one even goes so far as to mention certain fortifications.
Well, then it's the information you want?
Not the exact information. But it very definitely shows Sir Harold is working against the interests of the United States and Canada. But you should not have come here, Norma. In fact, you shouldn't have taken these papers.
Yes, but why? Now you've got proof against Sir Harold.
Yes, but he'll miss these papers, and he'll know you've tricked him and disappear.
Oh. Then I haven't helped.
Oh, yes, yes, you've helped.
Do you suppose that someone who saw me come up here to your room? Have I caused you more trouble?
Unless I miss my guess, this is a report that Sir Harold has already left. Hello?
G8 reporting. Sir Harold has checked out of hotel. Has ordered car from nearest garage. Shall I replace chauffeur?
No. Too dangerous at this point. Drop his trail. Tell operator 37 to pick it up.
Yes, sir.
I never felt so badly in my life, Mr. Harding. I feel that I've bungled the whole thing.
Oh, don't feel that way, Norma. You just accomplished so much more than I expected, I wasn't ready for it.
You're not just saying that.
No. I mean it.
Oh. I'd rather hear you say something like that than anyone else.
Now, of course, the artillery plans which were stolen from Lieutenant O'Brien have already been changed. A new set of plans is being sent to California Saturday night by plane. We'll wait and see if the Gestapo makes an attempt to get those new plans Saturday night.
I see. But what can I do, Mr. Harding?
Now, tomorrow night, dress very simply.
Yes.
Take the bus, the Maryland bus, to the end of the line. Get off there. And wait for me. Things have taken a pretty serious turn. Tomorrow night should tell us a lot.
Can you tell me now where we're going?
To a little farmhouse, about 10 miles further down the road.
Well, why are we going there? Well,
we have a shortwave listening set there. There's nothing near the farmhouse. The reception's excellent.
And you still think I can be of help?
Very definitely.
Good.
But I can't tell how until we hear this shortwave broadcast tonight. See, every Tuesday and Saturday night, from 1:15 to 1:30 in the morning, there's a shortwave broadcast by a bootleg station to Germany. We've been listening in on it for several weeks.
But who's doing the broadcasting?
Gestapo agents. In fact, we'll both listen in tonight.
Oh, I've never seen
so much electrical equipment, Mr. Harding.
Now, you sit down here beside me, Norma. Now, take these earphones.
Yeah.
I'm calling another shortwave station of our own. One of my men's operating it. 42B. 42B. Come in on 24.5 megacycles. Come in.
Your signal is weak, but I can get it. Come in.
Proceed according to schedule. That will be 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Then meet me at appointment. You get it?
Exactly 3 minutes, 10 seconds, and we'll contact.
That is all.
Was that a shortwave station in another phone house?
No. It was a portable sending and receiving set in a car. That's why it didn't have too much power.
Oh.
Now, you don't understand German, do you, Norma?
No, I don't.
Then I'll interpret for you. Broadcast we should be picking up right now. Now, take these earphones. He's making contact. You'll hear him in a minute.
And this radio station we're hearing is operating illegally in direct contact with Berlin?
Yes. But we've got it spotted.
Nach Berlin. Achtung! Geheimbericht von größter Wichtigkeit.
He's just saying he's got some real news tonight.
Auf Welle 24.500 nach Berlin. Die Pläne zur Befestigungsanlagen der nordamerikanischen Westküstenverteidigung sind plangemäß gestohlen worden.
He's talking about the West Coast fortification papers that were stolen from
it. Die beiliegenden Dokumente sind in unserem Besitz.
Telling Berlin that the Gestapo has the papers, but the question is how to get them out of the country.
Die Überseesendungen sind schärfstens überwacht. Revidierte Pläne werden Sonnabend an die Westküste per Flugzeug gesandt.
Now he's saying revised plans are to be sent to the West Coast this Saturday night.
Das Problem ist, die Pläne aus dem Lande zu schleppen.
Get those hands up, quick!
Who are you? Get out of here!
You make a move, I'll shoot. The United States counter spy. Now get your hands up. Move away from that broadcasting microphone.
Oh, they're being captured.
But this is just an amateur sending set.
Oh, yeah? Put the cuffs on him, Frank. We've already got the cuffs on your three pals, the two downstairs and one in the other room. Take him out, boys. Remember, these four are the ones who murdered Lieutenant O'Brien. This shortwave set won't be used anymore tonight or any other night.
Well, Norma, you really heard something that time.
They were really captured by your men?
They certainly were. Right now, they're being taken away so fast, they don't know what's happening.
Yes, but how did it happen just right then?
That was the message I sent out the first thing I came into this room. We had everything set. Come on. I want to drive back and face them.
Where are we going now, Dave?
We've got a place where we hide people like them away for a while.
A prison?
Well, sort of a private prison with their steel bars and escape-proof devices. That's what you mean. After that, it's the firing squad. All these people in these cells, Norma, are agents of the Gestapo or the Japanese Black Dragon. Let's go into this cell now. Wait.
Oh, it's horrible. These prisoners just look at it. You can see in their eyes, they know they're going to be shot.
Oh, guard.
Yes, sir?
Check and see if a Sir Harold Palmer has been brought in yet. If he has, bring him to this cell.
Right, sir.
Here. Sit down in this cot, Norma. We may have quite a little weight.
Dave, how did you catch Sir Harold?
We'll let him do the talking when he gets here. Norma. Let me tell you something, because something very startling is about to happen. Lieutenant John O'Brien was a confidential messenger for the Army. On his last mission, he was murdered in a train while the lights were out. The window was broken, and his body thrown out.
Sir Harold will be in just a minute, Mr. Harding.
Oh, good. Well, Norma, we checked O'Brien's movements. Everything he did after he received those confidential instructions. O'Brien went back to his hotel room, and the only thing he did besides packing was to put in 5 telephone calls. 3 were calls to the Army Department, 1 was a call to his mother, and one was a call to a girl. We traced that call. It showed in the hotel records. We immediately started investigating that girl, and it gradually showed up that her background wasn't quite what she claimed it to be. In other words, she'd found out that Lieutenant O'Brien was a trusted government messenger. She'd become acquainted with him and started seeing a good deal of him. And when he telephoned her on this certain night and said he was going to San Francisco, she knew it must be on important business. And as he was a confidential government messenger, she knew he'd probably have the papers with him. So she passed the word on, gave orders for the two men to board the train and after a little while cut the electric light wires in that car, murder O'Brien, throw his body off at a certain prearranged time. Two other men in an automobile were waiting and carried his body away because they were afraid he might have important papers on his person.
Well, were those men who were running the shortwave station the ones who murdered Lieutenant O'Brien?
Yes, but they received their instructions from the woman to do it. The woman was the real murderer.
Did you send for me, sir?
Yes. I believe you know Miss Braley.
Oh, yes, I've had that privilege.
Sir Harold Palmer.
That's right. Sir Harold to you, Miss Braley. But a counter spy to me. George Davis.
He's a counter spy? Well, he's the Canadian you sent me to watch. He's the one I stole the papers from.
And a very good job of stealing them you did, too.
Miss Braley, you are under arrest by the United States government.
Oh, no. No. No, I'll kill you. I'll kill myself.
Take it away from her, Davis.
Give it
her. While you were stealing the papers, Davis here was putting blank cartridges in the gun you had in your handbag. Killing comes pretty easy to you, doesn't it?
You rat, you swine.
I wasn't absolutely positive that you were the woman, Miss Braley, till we heard that broadcast tonight and your spies passed on word about the revised fortification papers being sent to the coast Saturday night. Then I knew that you were the one we wanted, because that was just a made-up story. And you and I were the only two in the whole world who knew it.
What are you going to do with me?
You're very unobserving. You should have noticed that this is the woman's section. And half an hour before we arrived, this very cell was reserved for you. This is the place that you're going to stay. Come on, David.
You can't do this to me. You can't do it. I'm a French refugee. Do you understand? I'm a French refugee.
You're a French refugee right from Berlin. You never saw France in your life. We checked your family. They live on Connectenstrasse, Hamburg.
No, you can't, you rat, you Schweiner. Americanus and Schweiner.
He's about the most vicious spy we've taken in since the war started, Harding.
I have a feeling she's responsible for a lot of important information leaking out, David. But one thing's certain. She won't get out.